You hear an ED nurse talking to the relative of a patient who has been recently admitted.
Did you want to talk to me, Miss Tanaka?
Oh, yes. You see, I just wanted to let you know that my father, well, as you know, he's recently been diagnosed with dementia. Most of the time it's not an issue and his spats never last long. It's just that I wanted to prepare you. Sometimes he's really not himself.
Okay, Miss Tanaka. I think I understand. Can your father become aggressive?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's just that he gets frustrated sometimes. He can't remember things, and I think it's scary for him.
Uh-huh.
He was never, ever like this before his dementia, and those periods, well, they really don't reflect his true character.
Of course. Thanks for letting me know.
You hear an obstetrician describe a cesarean section to a pregnant patient.
Labour can progress differently for different people. In some circumstances, if labour is longer than expected, and if we detect that the baby is distressed, then we may have to consider an emergency cesarean section. It's a procedure that we perform in theatre, and it is carried out under spinal or epidural anaesthetic, so that you don't feel anything, but you will be awake. A screen is placed across your body, so you don't have to see what's being done. We make an incision in your tummy and womb, just under your bikini line to remove your baby, and then stitch up the wound. It takes around 40 minutes, and your birth partner can be there at all times. Does that make sense?
You hear a GP and his practice nurse discussing their yearly schedule.
In September, we'll have a lot of new patients, as the first-year university students will all register during freshers.
We were really run off our feet last year, weren't we?
Yep, it was a madhouse.
Do you think we should hire agency staff to help out for the first couple of weeks this time around?
Well, I think part of the problem was that last year, Dr. Igwe and Nurse Fletcher were both away. Dr. Igwe went to Costa Rica and Nurse Fletcher had the flu.
Oh, right, I remember. Well, we can't do much to prevent staff illness.
No, but we can ask people to avoid booking time off in those first 3 weeks.
OK, I'll send an email out today.
You hear a nurse prepare a patient for a flu shot.
Good morning, Mr. Henderson.
Hi.
Dr. Ray has recommended that you get a flu immunisation shot before you're discharged. I've got the injection ready to give you. Are you allergic to anything?
I'm only allergic to latex and penicillin. I don't know if I want the flu shot. Oh. The last time I got the shot, I got sick.
I'm sorry that happened to you. What kind of symptoms did you have after that last flu shot?
I got a runny nose and a headache, and my arm felt like someone punched me.
Sometimes the flu shot can cause reactions like a sore injection site and headache. Other common symptoms include being tired, muscle and joint aches, shivering and fever. All of these symptoms can be seen with the flu, but the shot can't give you the flu.
You hear a doctor talk to a patient about her injury.
Good morning, Mrs. Bowder. I'll be your doctor taking care of your cut there. What exactly happened?
Oh, it's embarrassing, really. You see, I was just trying to chop some tomatoes for dinner, and the knife accidentally slipped. Oh, I'm so clumsy. I hope it doesn't hurt too much to stitch back up.
Well, we're going to numb the area now with a shot of lidocaine. You'll feel a poke of the needle and a slight burn, but afterwards the area should be numb and you'll feel nothing during the procedure.
Oh, good.
We should be finished in about 10 minutes.
Good. How many stitches will I need? And how long will I have to stay in? I'm really conscious about my hands, so I hope I don't have a scar.
I will only know for sure once I finish suturing, but by my estimation, you might require at least 4 to 5 sutures.
Oh.
They'll have to stay in for 5 to 10 days, and you'll need to come back in to get them removed.
Right.
I'll do my best to try and line up the edges to create as little scarring as possible.
Thank you.
But I can't guarantee there will be nothing there.
You hear a trainee nurse asking a senior colleague about the treatment for a patient with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD.
I haven't treated anyone with COPD before. What would we need to do differently?
One of the most important things would be to make sure to prescribe oxygen at levels between 88 to 92%.
Okay, so why would that be necessary? If he's having trouble breathing, shouldn't we prescribe higher oxygen levels? Most patients receive oxygen at levels between 94 and 98%.
Well, in healthy individuals, a rise in carbon dioxide would result in an increased drive to breathe in order to eliminate the excess gas.
Right.
However, in some patients with COPD, this response is blunted, and their main mechanism for respiratory drive is controlled by the level of oxygen in the body instead. If the level of oxygen given to a COPD patient is increased too much, it can actually reduce the stimulus to breathe and cause hypoventilation, resulting in an increase in CO2.